The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. I feel a little guilty talking without a mask when you all have to wear it. It's just so you can hear me. There's a new phrase in these last 4 or 5 months that's become pretty much an everyday word, and that is essential worker. Rarely does a day go by that we don't hear or read or see something about essential workers on the news or in the paper or on billboards. Thank you, essential workers. And there's a really good reason for that. In the most literal sense, it was essential workers who kept things afloat all this time while the rest of us were doing what we really needed to do, which was staying put, avoiding contact with people, not shopping, not going to church, not going to school. And we were able to do that because essential workers kept going to work day after day to keep things running. Some of the essential workers were, of course, people like doctors and nurses who were working longer hours than most of us can even imagine, taking serious personal risks to care for the many people who became ill during the pandemic. And I'm using past tense verbs, but this is very much a present tense thing. But essential workers were also the people who checked you out at Price Chopper when you made your quick run to the grocery store every week. They were the people who restocked the shelves at Walmart when the panicky customers made a run on the toilet paper. Essential workers were the people who were mopping the post office floor when you came in to pick up your mail. They were the young people who bagged up your takeout when you got sick of cooking and went out to get food for dinner. To a great extent, essential workers were the people who did the jobs that most of us didn't even really think about until we discovered that they were what everybody else was depending on. And one of the most notable things about these essential workers, these people that we've been thanking on banners and billboards all over the place, is that by and large, they are some of the lowest paid individuals in our community. It's no coincidence also that a disproportionate number of essential workers are people of color. We live in a society that puts a price tag on human worth. The world thanks essential workers, but it doesn't really value them. If we want to know who the world really holds in high esteem, what we need to do is compare paychecks, right? Doctors, especially specialists like anesthesiologists and surgeons, earn pretty hefty salaries of $100,000, $200,000 a year, but the really big paychecks, like in the millions, go to corporate CEOs and investment analysts and star athletes and big name actors. Apparently, the big rewards in our society, the people that we really value, are the people whose whole job it is to make more money or entertain us. That's where we put our real priorities as a culture. Most of the essential workers, on the other hand, bus drivers, cashiers, mail carriers, janitors, the people who kept the world running while we stayed safe, they basically come in near the bottom of the value scale, American style. And Jesus had something to say about that value scale, because human nature really doesn't change much from century to century or from culture to culture. There was a day when his disciples were sparring with each other, again, about who was bigger and better than who, and Jesus sat them down for a little talk. "You know how it is out there," he said. "The rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their leaders like to call themselves benefactors. Listen, that is not how it is to be with you. Let the greatest among you be as if you were the youngest and the least important. Let the one who leads be the one who serves everybody else." Who would you say is normally considered the greater man, the one who's sitting at the table or the one who's serving him? It's the one at the table, right? Jesus said, "But I am the one. I am among you as the one who serves." When Jesus came to reveal to us who the Father is and what exactly he's like and what he really cares about, I would say probably that the most shocking revelation of all was this, that humility and service are at the heart of godliness. We were ready to accept that God is pure and sinless. Seems obvious. We knew he was big and strong. We believed he was wise and all-knowing. But when it comes to this one central quality of the Almighty, eternal creator of the universe, it's almost more than we human beings can comprehend. Who would ever have imagined a humble deity? Who would ever have thought of a creator who serves his creatures? But remember, almost the last act of our Lord on his earthly life was to wrap a towel around his waist and to kneel down in front of his disciples, even the disciple who was about to betray him, and to wash their dirty feet like a common servant. We know Peter at least was scandalized, and I suspect he was speaking for the rest as he usually did. And then when Jesus had finished, he said to them, "Did you see what I just did? I did that as an example for you. You call me Lord and Master. You're right, I am. So if I, your Lord and Master, kneel down to wash your feet, you do the same. Follow my example. Wash one another's feet. Be servants." And I don't know of any other place in the Gospels where Jesus so plainly sets an example for his disciples. He teaches people a lot of things, and many times he admonishes people to put his teachings into action. But only here does he act out one particular behavior so clearly and so explicitly as an example. Only when he washes his disciples' feet does Jesus give this command to follow his example so absolutely and so plainly. Service, humble service, is clearly a central tenet, I would say maybe the central tenet of the kingdom of God. And it's hard to think of any other teaching that runs so counter to the values and the expectations of our world. And it's exactly that radical value of the kingdom that Jesus is talking about in the reading today. Jesus is sending his 12 disciples out to all the villages and countryside to announce the coming of the kingdom. They're to heal the sick, they're to cast out demons, raise the dead, heal lepers. But from the start, he makes it clear there is to be no celebrity culture here. If they're welcomed into someone's home, it is as if they had welcomed Jesus himself, and in fact, the Father himself. Whoever opens his door to a prophet is worthy Whoever opens this door to a righteous person is worthy of the same reward as the righteous person. Jesus doesn't say anything about the virtue or the status of the one who's doing the welcoming. That act, the mere act of kindly service, is of such immense value in the kingdom that the one who serves is of equal value to the one being served, whether they're a disciple or a prophet or a person of perfect righteousness or a plain old person like us. Even the smallest service, just a cup of cold water for a thirsty disciple, that is worthy of a reward in the kingdom of God, where humility and service are divine attributes and not marks of shame and inferiority. God became a real flesh and blood human being and moved into our neighborhood, and we expected him to live in the biggest, most beautiful house with the most perfectly manicured lawn and to drive a state-of-the-art car. We expected him to hold a job in the highest echelon of society where he could make a difference, where he could influence public policy. We expected him to speak great wisdom on our TV screens, making the most impressive minds of our generation sound like fools by comparison. We expected him to pull down a higher salary than Bill Gates and Warren Buffett combined. But when God moved in, it turned out he was just an essential worker, almost beneath our notice. It turned out that he came here not to impress us, but to serve us. And then he called us to follow his example.